Well, Lord, we come to you and we thank you, God, for this day. We thank you that your word is alive and active. God, we thank you that you've gone before us. You understand the times. You understand even what we're dealing with today. You are on the throne. You are God, and you're always good. We trust you. We turn to your word right now, God, and we ask that we would be awakened, revived and awakened by your precious, powerful word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, last week, what a week. It was a reminder that we're in a fight. I tested positive for COVID. The pastoral staff of Evident Life Church was on quarantine all of last week. And we got to remember, though, something. Evidence that we're actually in the fight is the fact that we're taking punches. And I got to say, we took some punches this past week, but we've not forgotten that God has opened a door of opportunity for his church for such a time as this. Church, we have to remember it's time for awakening. And that's the series that the Lord has had us in as we're going through Nehemiah and looking at Ezra and through the books of Chronicles. And we got to understand something. With awakening, God loves it. We're created for this, but the enemy hates it. The enemy hates awakening. He fears awakening, and therefore he will do whatever it takes to stop it. But we got to make sure that we don't forfeit the promise. Hey, that's the title of today's message. Don't forfeit the promise. I'm going to say that again. Don't forfeit the promise. Let's see what God has to say about not forfeiting. See, for Nehemiah and the Israelites, they were building the wall. Remember, that's who we're talking about here. They were building the wall. And as they were building the wall, the enemy didn't like it because there was awakening about to happen in the nation of Israel again. And so as the Israelites are building the wall, the enemy unleashed three schemes in hopes of halting the awakening, hoping that the people of God would forfeit the promise. Here are the three schemes, the three tactics. One is deception. The second scheme is accusation. And when those don't work, the enemy moves to intimidation. And you know what? If we look around us, the enemy is using these same three tactics today in our nation, in our time. Deception. Deception. Tactic number one, scheme number one of the enemy, deception. He wants us to forfeit the promise. He wants us to stop building. He doesn't want awakening to happen, so he brings deception. Nehemiah chapter 6. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 6 today. Turn with me to verse 1. When word came to Sambalot, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I'd rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors and the gates, well, Sambalot and Geshem sent me this message. And they said to me, come let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. Look, I'm carrying on a great project. I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? But four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Hey, did you see that? Did you check that out? Did it jump out at you? The enemy was trying to deceive Nehemiah and get him to leave God's assignment and to focus on something else. But Nehemiah wouldn't fall for it. See, Nehemiah identified it as a scheme of the enemy, and then he ignored it. He identified what Sambalot and Tobiah were doing. He identified it, and then he ignored it. Let me say that again. He identified the scheme, and he ignored it. Church, are we identifying the deception of the enemy in our time, in our day? And then are we ignoring it? Nehemiah, he didn't give deception the time of day. He wouldn't allow that distraction of the enemy to cause him to forfeit the promise. No way. So again, I want to ask, what cunning deceptions is the enemy using as he tries to distract you from the work of God's kingdom? You from the high calling that God has on your life as a part of the royal priesthood, as part of his church? What things that the enemy is throwing at you, what things do you need to just ignore like Nehemiah did? What things in your life do you need to blow off and just not give the time of day? What lies are you believing? What plans are you pursuing that are less than what God really has for you? Don't be deceived and don't be distracted. What about our nation? What about the church? Have we been distracted? Have we been deceived? I want to talk about COVID for a little bit. It's real. I can talk about this a lot more firsthand now because I've had it. By God's grace, I've only had minor symptoms. But I've had it. Most people only get minor symptoms. I do want to say this, though. It can be very dangerous for some who are compromised. So please, if you are anywhere near compromised, I want to plead with you and ask for you to really be careful, take care of yourself in this season as there's this additional spike going on. But still, I see how the enemy is using COVID as a distraction. Just this week, somebody suggested that we go back online only because of COVID. In other words, let's disband the gathering of the saints, pull back the momentum God is building in this church, and I believe there's been a lot of momentum over the last month and a half, 2 months. It's been exciting. I don't think it's a coincidence, though, that it was when the church wasn't gathered earlier this year, that this is when so much advancement was made, not by the church, but by the enemy in our nation. So much deception, so many lies, so much ground given up as we were not gathered together. So much fraud was done. So many freedoms were forfeited as the church wasn't meeting together. And I want to say it again, we need to be careful. And if you're compromised, please care for yourself. If you're sick, please stay home. But allowing this flu to be used as a distraction to cancel the gathering of the saints, I'm going to say it. I believe it would be a mistake if we did this twice, if we did this again. So anyway, the first scheme to cause us to forfeit God's plans and his promises is deception. We're not going to fall for it. Maybe we have in the past, but we're not falling for it again. The second scheme is this, accusation. See, when the enemy can't distract us with deception, he will often revert to false accusations, hoping to get us off our game. He wants us to be playing defense instead of advancing the ball and scoring on him. I'm telling you, we're going to continue in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 5. Let's check out what goes down. Scripture says, "Then the fifth time Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message. And in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, quote, 'It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you're building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us meet together.'" Look, I sent him this reply, though. Nehemiah says, "Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. It's a false accusation." They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. "But I prayed, 'Now strengthen my hands.'" Look, it's the enemy who is the accuser of the brethren. It says that in Revelation 12:10. He's the one. The enemy is the one that whispers in our ears and tells us we aren't good enough for God. He's the one who tells us, look, we blew it. He's the one who says that we don't have what it takes. We're gonna fail. But there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Can you receive that today? There's no condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. See, the enemy's going to lie. He's going to bring accusations in order to get us distracted, in order to get us to give up and just walk away from God's plans, to walk away from God's family, and ultimately to walk away from God. That's the plan of the enemy, to rob, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. And here's what happens, sadly. Much of the church caves when the accusations start to fly. I mean, I tell you what, we're like snowflakes sometimes. We are so sensitive to accusations, and we so quickly cave. Here's some examples of some of those accusations. Look, if you don't agree with the modern social justice movement, then you're racist and unloving. Oh my goodness. I don't want anybody to think I'm racist and unloving. So I'm just going to go along with the humanistic, human ideology driven, anti-Christ social justice movements of our day. Because I've been accused and I don't want to be accused. Here's another one. If you don't shut down your worship gatherings because of COVID, then you're going to be seen as dangerous and ignorant. There's an accusation. And you know what? It causes a lot of Christians to recoil, to step back from gathering. Look, here's another accusation. If you don't agree with the theory of evolution and that woke cultist agenda of climate change, then you're going to be labeled ignorant and a science hater. Oh, no! I don't want to be ignorant. I don't want to be a science hater. I want to be accepted by the smart people in this culture. But they're accusing me of this. So, oh, it's accusations. It's the enemy trying to manipulate you, trying to rob you of what your position and your calling is to bring the kingdom of God. Here's another accusation that flies around from the enemy to the church. Look, if you don't endorse the redefinition of marriage, and if you don't remain silent regarding the LGBTQ plus movement, then you're a homophobic hater. Man, we hear that one all the time. It's an accusation. It's the enemy trying to manipulate the church, making these false claims, trying to paint a picture that isn't true, trying to label the church, trying to label you and me as something we're completely not. But sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we become so desperate to fit in and we so desire to be approved by our culture that we allow these accusations to silence us. We allow these false accusations of the enemy to determine what we're going to do and not do, how we're going to act as the body of Christ. We let an antichrist culture manipulate us with accusations. I'm here to say we don't have to take it. I'm not going to take it anymore. We're not going to take it. We don't have to fall for the devil's sneaky little trap. We don't have to be distracted and controlled by accusations. I mean, check out what Nehemiah did. This is how Nehemiah responded to the accusations. First, he identified those accusations as lies. Okay? All those accusations I was going through earlier, a bunch of lies, right? Nehemiah identified the accusations as lies, and then what did he do? He prayed for God to give him and the people of God strength so that he could stand up under the accusations and keep going. And God answered this prayer. God gave him strength, and Nehemiah kept going. And church, so can we. Let's identify those lies, those schemes, those accusations of the enemy. Let's call them out for what they are. Lies, fraud, wrong. Let's pray and ask God to give us strength to stand up underneath it. He gives us all we need for life and godliness. And then let's keep going, church. All right. The third scheme used by the enemy to distract the church from its mission is, drumroll. All right, anyway, it's intimidation. Intimidation. Look, when deception and accusation didn't work, the enemy pulled out the big guns. And he began to intimidate God's people into submission, intimidation. Let's get back to Nehemiah chapter 6. We're in verse 10. Scripture says this, "One day I went to the house of Shimei, son of Delai, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut in at his home. And he said, 'Let us meet in the house of God inside the temple and let us close the temple doors because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you.'" Do you see the intimidation? Verse 11. "But I said," this is Nehemiah, "I said, 'Should a man like me run away? Or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go.' I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him." A hired hand of intimidation. That's going on in our culture today. Verse 13, "He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this. And then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophet Noadiah and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me. Verse 15, so the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in the 52 days. Fear can be a powerful tool in the hand of our adversary. Sanballat, Tobiah, they hired people to intimidate Nehemiah. Look, if we give in to fear, if we give in to intimidation by the enemy, it's going to cause us to freeze up. It can cause us to run away and forfeit the promises of God. Look, the enemy loves to intimidate and control us. Man, it makes me upset. He loves to do that. Here's some examples. Here's some examples of how the enemy loves to intimidate Christians in our world today. Hey, Christian coach, don't lead a prayer before the football game or you're going to get fired. That's fear and intimidation trying to manipulate the people of God and remove the presence, the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus from our culture today. Here's another one. Oh, Christian employee, you can't share Jesus with your coworker. Or unfortunately, we're going to have to write you up. Might lose your job. Probably going to lose a promotion if all of that happens. That's intimidation. Fear and intimidation. We got to identify it. And like Nehemiah, we got to say, I'm not going there. You're not going to intimidate me. I'm a child of God. I'm on a mission that God has given me. And I trust Him. And I'm going to keep going. How about this? Hey, Christian student, don't oppose evolution. You can't do that. You can't ask those kind of questions in class. You can't write a paper about how we're fearfully and wonderfully made by God, because if you do, you're going to fail my class. Fear and intimidation, even coming after our kids with it in school that our taxes pay for. How about this? Hey, pastor, you can't call homosexuality a sin. Wait a minute. You can't call the Democrat Party out for their disgusting support of abortion, because if you do, pastor, I'm going to tell you, you're going to lose half of your church. Fear and intimidation, that's happening all the time, by the way. I want to encourage you. If your pastor, I'm pointing myself, if your pastor's speaking out and bringing truth, encourage him in that, because there's all these other voices that are coming at your pastor who will be willing to speak truth and just declare the word of God unashamedly. There's all the other voices trying to intimidate. How about this one? Hey, church, this is the world talking to us. Hey, church, don't worship. Don't hold those worship services. Don't sing. If you do, you're going to spread that disease and we're going to fine you and we're going to shut you down. If you want to have church services, we're going to fine you and we're going to shut you down. It's fear and intimidation. This is how the enemy works. Fear and intimidation. And like Nehemiah, we got to have nothing to do with that. We cannot let an antichrist, messed up, broken, humanistic, secular world control who we are and what we're going to be doing. We're either children of God about the business of our Heavenly Father, or we're just pawns in the hands of a broken, dark world. I don't want to be a pawn. Not going to do it. I want to be a tool in the hands of God Almighty to bring His kingdom and to set captives free, to push back darkness and to bring the light of Christ Jesus into my culture, into my community. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. So let's all respond like Nehemiah. Here's how Nehemiah responded. Again, verse 11. He said this. He said, but I said, should a man like me run away? Or should someone like me go up into the temple to save his life? I will not go. Let that be our answer. When the world says, you got to go along with us, we're going to intimidate you to go along. Let it be, I will not go. I'm following somebody else. His name is Jesus. And He has a mission for me. And I'm on His mission. And I'm not going to be pulled away from it. There's no deception. There's no intimidation that's going to do that. So the enemy tries to intimidate, but the faithful church, the faithful will not back down. The faithful will not shut up. We will not retreat. We will not forfeit the promise. I'm going to start wrapping up this message. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, reminds us. It says, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That's what's happening right now. The enemy is looking for those he can distract and get off their game. He's looking for those that he can pull away from God's calling, therefore having them forfeit the promise and the mission and the victory that God has for the church. I believe the enemy's been doing this regarding the election results. I'm going to just speak about that right now. The enemy has committed fraud, and he doesn't want us to uncover it. He wants us to shut up. He wants us just to go away and go along with the deception. Just accept it. Forfeit the promise. Forfeit the prophetic word of the Lord. But check out what happens when we don't get distracted. Verse 16. Are you ready for this? When all the enemies heard about this, meaning when they heard that the wall was completed, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Did you see that? Did you see what happened? The plans of the enemy backfired. They wanted to stop the work of God, but the work was completed because they didn't allow themselves to be distracted, accused, or intimidated. Look, we don't have to allow the enemy to win. When we stay in agreement with God and with His plans, when we trust the Lord, who's great and who's awesome, isn't He though? When we trust Him and we stay in the game with God, we will have the victory. The enemy will flee. The enemy will actually fear us because we're grounded in Christ and we will not be moved. We got to remember who we are, church. We're God's children. We're the victorious church. We're about our Father's business, and the enemy can't stop us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. All those who rise up against us shall fall. I will not fear what the devil may bring me. Why? Because I'm a servant of God. I am a servant of God. That's from Isaiah 54:17. So, what has the devil been throwing at you lately? How has he been trying to distract you? With deception? You don't have to fall for it. Has he been trying to distract you with accusations? I want to encourage you, tell yourself the truth. You're loved by your Creator. You are God's child. You are not condemned. And He has a mission for you. He loves you. He wants you. And He even needs you on His team. Is the enemy trying to derail you with intimidation? Come on, you can tell that fear and intimidation to take a hike. We are in this to win this. Let's stay focused on the prize. Let's keep our head and our hearts in the game. Because if we don't quit, and we won't, if we don't quit, we win. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word, God, that helps us think clearly about life today and about what's going on around us. God, thank You for giving us strategies to deal with the hard things we have to deal with in this broken world. Lord, I pray Your grace over every single person in this church. Your powerful grace, God, that we are not those who are going to be manipulated by the enemy's schemes, but we are those who live above those schemes. We live in the glory and in the grace and in the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes that, let's say amen. Amen? Amen. God bless you.